start them all the same? Tell me.
You are. I am Jackie Lewis. I am a paramedic.
Welcome, Jackie. How long have you been in EMS?
Since 2009.
I love it. Everybody today has brought notes. It's been really awesome. So 2009, you got into it. Same year I did. Excellent. What brought you there? How did you discover EMS?
Truthfully, my older brother was in the fire department, volunteer fire department, and when I moved to Campbell, I ended up joining the fire department there, and they had a first responder unit, and I was like, oh, so I went and took the first responder class and started there.
Yeah. Really. All right. So, got into it through family, started mm-hmm. getting a feel for it. You took just like a CFR class to start?
Yeah, just the CFR, which was okay. Yeah. You don't do a lot of patient care. You don't transport. You basically stabilize the patient mm-hmm. yeah, with injuries or make sure the scene is okay for the ambulance.
Yeah. What prompted you to go to EMT then?
Because I wanted to do more.
Yeah.
CFR just wasn't enough once I got into patient care. And
how long were you a CFR before you transitioned?
I took the EMT class in 2012.
Okay. So then you were an EMT for 8-9 years before joining the paramedic program.
Yes.
Which is how I met you, is through the paramedic program. Why the long wait there?
I actually was an EMT for my other volunteer agency. I had moved, got married, and joined that department that my husband had been in for 20 years. And he was an EMT, so he's like, oh, you should do it. And then so I took the EMT class and it still wasn't enough, and I found an advanced class. So in 2016, I actually took the advanced EMT class.
Oh, okay.
So, which gave me a little bit more, but still not that much for a BLS transporting agency anyways. Mm-hmm. And so I still wanted to do more, and paramedic class came.
So it's just been every couple of years we do these incremental increases. What's next then, right?
Well, there's critical care paramedic, flight paramedic.
Yeah. Is that stuff that you're looking into?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. How are you enjoying being a paramedic?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It keeps me on my toes. Nothing's ever the same. So it's, you go into work and everything is different every day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the fun part about this gig is that it's always something different. And, you know, there's always a chance for it to be just wild.
Yeah.
You know, you're somebody, one of the reasons I wanted you to come on is you speak with enthusiasm about EMS in a way that very few people do. You bring such a level of excitement for this job that is so refreshing. That I just was like, I have to get that on the air because it's more fun than the people who are just so dour and miserable about EMS all the time.
Yes.
What is it that draws you to this? Why are you here? Why have you stayed here? And what keeps coming back?
Truthfully, the impact that you have on somebody who is, like Bill said, having their worst day.
Yeah.
And you get to be the best part of it. It's probably one of my
someone's worst day. Love that quote.
It's probably one of my favorite quotes, actually, now. I heard that in paramedic school, and it really hit close to home.
So where'd you grow up? Were you in New York the whole time?
Yeah, I grew up in Hammondsport on the lake.
Okay. That's down
Keuka Lake.
Okay. Keuka Lake.
Yep.
Beautiful. And then you're involved in some volunteer agencies. You kind of took an odd path in EMS in that you were a firefighter and then went to EMS full-time, which is kind of the opposite of what a lot of folks do.
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot from a lot of people that are saying, wait, why did you do that? That doesn't happen.
Right. No, it doesn't. Right? Most people decide that, like, all right, fire, that's the gig, and we're going to stay there forever.
Yep.
You know, without getting into all the details of it, was firefighting just not for you? It was the calling of EMS, or was it just...
Yeah, truthfully, the fire department I worked for has 6 ambulances and a fly car, and they are very EMS heavy. They were very close to home, so it was convenient, and I knew that if I wanted to be a paramedic close to home, that was really my only option. Mm. So I did it, and yeah, fire's not my thing. I'll admit it, and I think everybody that knows me knows that that's the case, even most of them that I worked with. Yeah. I got the chance to come to Livingston full time, which has been amazing. Yeah. A lot of perks to it, and wasn't really a terrible jump from what I was doing. A lot of benefits were the same or better, so it wasn't a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I always remember. I got my start as a volunteer firefighter, and I remember leaving my first fire where I was interior, and everyone was so jazzed, and all I could think was that was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
It was dark and hot. Shit's heavy, and then you got to do overhaul, and that sucked. And I was just like, I don't like this at all.
You can't see anything. No. You try to save property, which never happens.
Yeah, not anymore. And stuff burns so fast.
Yeah, there's so much negativity with a fire versus being able to help somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. That's a good way of looking at it, too, is like fire is just destruction, right?
Yeah.
And there's very little chance to stop that from being destruction. So yeah,
and I'm a big animal lover, and people don't like if their pets are inside, they don't get saved. And I don't know, I just like pets, and
that is one of the harder things. One of the last fire standbys I was on, actually, we were able to save the cat, and
that's awesome.
I remember we spent time, it was a little like lethargic when it came out, which we weren't sure if it was just that way, because sometimes cats are just like that. And so we had it in a box next to us at the standby, just like some passive oxygen for it, and just hanging out, making sure it was okay. And it was like one of the best calls I've ever been on, because I just basically got to spend like 8 hours spending a cat while everyone else was taking care of stuff. So that was like, all right. And nobody else got hurt, and you know, there wasn't anything else bad. So it was like, all right, just some property. That stuff can be replaced. But you know, I got to hang out with the cat for the day.
Yeah, my thing, like, I don't know, when you have a fire, like, every memory you have, like from your kids or you, is destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, it's so devastating.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, that wears on me, I think, more than a bad call on EMS.
Yeah. No, I could see that. It's a side I'm not as familiar with, because I didn't do fire full time, nor did I do it for very long. Like I said, my interest, once I realized EMS was the thing, that's kind of where my interest went. And I really just started shirking all responsibilities to the fire side of things, and got really involved on the ambulance. And I can't imagine doing that job full time. I don't know. I'm grateful people can do it. You know, I often shit on firefighters. I pick on them a lot, and it's out of love, because they're fun and easy to pick on, and they've got great jobs. So like, they'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I'm glad that there are people who can do it, because they're obviously needed. It is necessary, and I just can't. It's not me. So I'm glad there's somebody who wants to.
Yep, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I still volunteer. I'm still a volunteer firefighter for my volunteer agency, but
yeah.
We have an ambulance, so that's where I am.
Nice. So you've got about a year into your paramedic now, right?
Yes.
That's exciting. First year under your belts.
Yeah.
How did it go? How was it?
Intimidating at first.
Yeah.
It's, I think, always intimidating when you have that much responsibility and you're out in the world on your own and have to make life-saving or altering decisions for someone else. But the improvement that I've made as a person, as a paramedic, has been pretty amazing.
Yeah. Are you feeling more confident in the job now? And like,
oh, yes. Yes. I feel like I can make decisions on the fly and be more confident in those decisions instead of saying, is that the right one?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that in school?
How did you feel coming out of class? So you got out of class and you're released to the wild.
Like, yeah.
I know for me, I my first shift on an ambulance post-class was pretty scary. Like, it was like, wow, it's me now.
You know,
especially once I finished the clearing process. You know, I'm out, it's me. Early on, I had a pretty new BLS partner, and I was like, that's it. It's us now. And I'm kind of in charge of all of it. It scared the hell out of me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely scary. I think that the main thing for me was, like, all through school, you get the confidence of your instructors that are saying, you know what you're doing, like, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out the real world and they're not there. And your coworkers aren't there, and you're by yourself on your first ALS intercept that's a cardiac arrest, because that's what happened to me. And that came in as a difficulty breathing. So we didn't even know until we pulled up that it was a cardiac arrest. So it was like, okay, switch gears like instantly. Yep. But I think ultimately you just go back to, like, I went back to like my education in paramedic school. I don't think could have been any better than it was. Which
she's just saying that because I helped you. Class.
No, maybe a little. No, I'm just kidding. Truthfully, like we were so prepared to be on our own by the time we left at the end of August that it, like your skills kick in and your education kicks in and you don't really question things at the time. You start questioning things afterwards and like, what could I have done better? What could I have done different? And, but I think the advantage of the education I have is when I left school, I was confident that I knew what I was doing and the people teaching me knew what I was doing and were confident in sending me out there to do what I was made to do.
That's great. I like hearing that that you came out with some confidence on it and you were ready for it.
Yes.
Because I like, man, we took the same class. I'm on both sides of it now, which is interesting, but I came out of that class and like, you know, I've been, our instructors, our medical director, awesome. They were like, you're ready, Hutch. Like, you're going to crush it. And they, like, made me feel really good. And I still got out there, and I was like, I'm not ready.
I think that's always in the back of everybody's mind.
The world is scary. And
yes. And I was pretty...
I'm kind of a moron. You're putting me in charge of things. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. I was, like, comfortable in Hornell. Like, you know, every call is different. Every call makes you think and whatever. And then I went to Livingston and... a lot of things changed.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, here we are back square one last year, starting over.
Yeah. How so? Like, is it just.
I don't know if it was new people, different management, different accountability, different documentation requirements. Like, it was everything taking some getting used to. I think now, 6 weeks later, I'm almost. Okay.
Adjusting to the new culture.
Adjusting.
But the nice thing about where you are now, I mean, I'm not terribly familiar with where you were, only recently starting to learn about how things work down in that area. Mm-hmm. I know, but with the agency that you're with now, your chief was a former guest on this show and dear friend of mine. You got really good people. Like,
yeah.
You got, like, strong providers who care and really want to do the right thing for people and are always invested in making their people strong and giving their people the tools they need to succeed, which is nice. Like,
yeah.
And it's a shame that that's not the case everywhere. I've worked for agencies where they're just like, no, we're not buying that because it's, you know.
Yeah.
It would make your life easier and we don't want that, you know.
It is pretty, it was pretty intimidating, but kind of cool when your medical director shows up on a call you're on and like all of a sudden there he is. Definitely kind of awesome. Like the support is second to none, truthfully. But it was a little intimidating for the first time.
I've joked around on occasion, your medical director, great doc.
Yes.
Super good guy. He took the paramedic class with me.
Oh.
He was in my class. And he said something one time, and I was like, what are you talking about? We've been paramedics the same amount of time. And like he gave me a look like he didn't know if I was joking or not. And he's got a pretty dry sense of humor, too.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the look on his face when I said that because, I mean, the guy's been through medical school.
Yeah. He's
brilliant, smarter than I'll ever be. I'm just like, yeah, we're the same. We've been paramedics for 8 minutes now.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was different.
Yeah.
It's a different region, and I think I like the culture of the region. I think I like the accountability way more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's advantages to being held accountable and, like, you know, knowing what's going on and knowing that, you know, they're going to be follow-up on this.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of benefit to that follow-up because you can learn a ton.
Yes.
You know, so often we... throw you out, you take this call, and you never hear anything about it ever again.
Yeah, that was like my stroke call. Like, I went on that, and I'm like, 2 years later, I, like, ran into her, literally made my day.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, that's what I want to know. Like, did what I do made a difference? Did it help? Did it, you know? And I think that's where a lot of the stress of the job can come from, too, is like, all right, I'm doing this. I'm schlepping patients day in, day out. You call, we haul, that nonsense, you know. And I can see why people fall into that rut. You know, especially in at least in my experience, you know, I was working some high volume agencies. I was an EMT for a long time. I started getting a little jaded, you know, just like, we're going to take this person to hospital A and that person's going to hospital B, and you know, we're never going to think about him again. But like what we did had an impact.
Yes.
We transported thousands of patients over these 15 years. And like some of those, it probably made a difference. Right. And like knowing about that now, yes, and really seeking that further level of care and finding out what happened with them has been reinvigorating for why I do this.
Yes.
You know, cause I reached a point where I burnt out completely. I left, I stopped doing EMS. I went and worked for Wegmans cause I was so done with this business. And when I got back, I was like, things have to be different this time. And I came back and that was a big part of it. It was like, I need to know.
Yeah.
Is what I'm doing. Does it matter? And I think deep down, I always knew it kind of did, but I needed that validation of knowing, like, this matters. This is why we do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing, is just knowing that you actually did make a difference, even though you don't know it at the time. Like, the outcome's different because you were there.
Yeah. So, you've got plenty of experience at this point. You know, in all your shapes and sizes and different certifications, you know, the job does come with its darker sides, right?
Oh,
you know,
yes.
You, unfortunately, we see things that not everybody has to see on a day-to-day basis. How do you deal with it? How do you handle the stress of the job?
I listen to a lot of music.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of reading.
Okay. What do you listen to? I'm always up for finding new music.
I'm a big fan of classic rock. Okay. 80s hair bands are my thing.
All right.
Yeah, so you typically I'll have like 80s on my radio.
Nice. What about you said you read?
Yeah.
What do you read?
I read anything, truthfully. John Grisham, David Baldacci, I'll read. My favorite book actually I read last year was American Sirens. And
it's a really good book.
My ultimate goal is to meet John Moon wherever I find him, and I'm going to, like, even if I have to travel across the country, like, that's what I'm going to do before it's too late. But, yeah, like, anything. Yeah. Right now I'm reading – I listened to a podcast a few years ago on a kid that ended up getting arrested for murder and spent a bunch of time in prison, and then – like, his lawyer fought for him, and years later he got acquitted and got released, and then he got charged again. And so I'm reading that book now. I listened to the whole podcast. So I'm in the middle of that book at the moment.
Yeah. That sounds good. Going back to American Sirens, have you read Kevin Hazard's other book?
I have not, but it's on my nightstand.
Good.
It's coming.
Good. Go through it. I think you're going to love it.
Yes.
It's same writing style. The guy's got a very conversational style,
yeah,
which is why I liked his books. I'm a very slow reader. I plowed through his books. Like, they just the page turners, right?
Yeah, I couldn't put American Sirens down. Yeah. And I, like, everybody I talked to, like, I took the book to work, and I'm like, I don't know if you guys read or not, but you need to get this book. Like, everybody that's a paramedic needs to read that book.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I would say the same about 1,000 Naked Strangers, too.
Perfect.
There's not a whole lot of EMS-specific books that I'm like, read it.
Yeah.
You have to read it. Because I don't – usually when I leave – work, I'm like, pretend I'm not a paramedic anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live in that world, with the exception of doing this. That book was like, if I were to ever write a book, it would have been that one. Like,
yeah.
It's just very, it's got funny anecdotes. It's serious. It's just got, you can relate to it. You've taken the calls that he's taken. And it's very, like, just very clearly written from a place of love for EMS. And the guy's been in it, you know, and he's one of us.
I might have to, like, put the other book away and start this one then.
I could not recommend it more. It's an excellent read, and I believe everyone that's in this business should give it a look. Yeah, because it's got some really interesting perspective on the gig. And just American Sirens is an awesome follow-up to that, just explaining our history and, like, how wild that mess was, right?
Right. Like,
what a bunch of crazy folks that was, you know. Just a side tangent, because I loved Sirens. The fact that they learned how to breathe for people and use BVMs was just by, like, paralyzing a bunch of doctors who volunteered to be paralyzed. And then we were like, all right, we're going to keep them alive by doing mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
What? Medicine was so much more cool in the 50s.
Yes.
We got away with some wild stuff back then.
It was, yes, wild. That's a good word.
Yeah. 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 It's like, I can't imagine Maya letting me do some kind of experiment like that.
I think we should try it.
We should absolutely come up with something. Maya, if you're listening, please.
I mean, I feel like she'd be on board if it wasn't too crazy. Like, I feel like she'd be like, she would look at us and shake her head. That's what would happen.
What I want to do is the really crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I want to paralyze a whole bunch of people and see what I can do to them. So to just process all this stuff, you're reading, listening to music, mm-hmm. You know, is that enough? Is that what's keeping your head right?
Truthfully, support system at home. My husband's been a cop for 25 years, so he's seen, and he's been an EMT for 20, like he's seen and done a lot in his career, and he knows how to, he's learned how to process all of this, and so he's been a great help. My kids, they know kind of what I do, but not to the extent that I want them to yet.
Yeah.
They don't know the extent of things. They know I deal with sick people a lot and some people die and whatever. So like, and they, my youngest can usually tell if I had a bad day at work for some reason. I don't know how, but she figures it out and she does whatever she can to make me feel better or laugh or whatever it may be. She likes, well, I'm a big, I have a cat and the kids know that I like the cat more than them most of the time. So like, if I'm having a bad day, she'll bring Lincoln over and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
yeah. So you find it helpful that your husband's involved in this world?
Yeah. Least? Yeah, it is.
It's interesting. My wife does not do this. Has very little interest in anything icky at all. So I've found that that's really helpful because when I get home, we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And what, if I do need to talk about a particular thing, it's more just the general like feeling of it than the debrief
details,
of the call.
Yeah.
And I've found that that's a good relief, is that I'm not like living in that world all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because I liken it back to when we met, we were both working in the same business. We worked for a cell phone company. And it was like, we talked about work at work and then we got home and we kept talking about work and it was just like never ending. So it was nice that we kind of went in our own paths, but so it's helpful for you to have somebody who's in that world.
Yeah. Cause like I have a bad call and we call him like, well, this happened.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, well, things happen. And it'll just explain like, oh, I had this call one time and it's nice to know that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's a good help.
Yeah, and be able to talk about, like, certain situations that you've been through, like, make it helpful to, okay, this is normal, this is life, and that's one thing I've learned is life isn't fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And being in this job, sometimes you got to not do the fun stuff of life and break the news to people that you don't want to tell them that bad things have happened. But it's like, I say it's normal, because it's normal for us, and it's normal for cops, and it's like, it's our normal, and it's nice to have someone that understands that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you mentioned it's not fun to have to break the news to folks, and you're right, it's not. Somebody somewhere, I don't know where I heard it, or if it's just like, it's one of these, like, just burned into my brain things, and I don't even know where it came from at this point, but somebody once told me that, like, the opportunity to have those conversations, you should see it as a privilege. And I kind of reframed it from being just like dreading the moment that I have to tell somebody that their loved one has passed, or, you know, make those difficult talks on the phone about like, hey, we're going to the hospital and I don't know what's going to happen next, or, you know, all those things, is what a privilege it is to have that conversation and be the one who can relate that news to the family, because I've seen it done poorly.
Yeah.
And now that I've seen both sides of it, I know how to not do it. And
very true.
Maybe, just maybe, the way I did it can help them start the healing process a little bit easier.
For sure.
You know? And what an honor that is to be involved in that. You know, it's not something anybody, you know, a lot of people get to experience, and, you know, you opening up to a whole new side of humanity when you're doing that.
It's
like a great, like I said, I see it as a great privilege and honor to be able to do that with other people, complete strangers.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah,
it's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I wish I could credit whoever it was that said that. It was one of those things that stuck into my brain, and I'm like, it's just there forever now.
Yes.
And that's kind of how I look at all the calls. You know, it's what we're doing is important, and there's an opportunity here to really celebrate what we do, even the most mundane calls.
Yes.
I tripped and fell and I just can't get up, you know, and we're rolling our head because it's 3:30 in the morning and I just I'm tired and I want to deal with this stub toe, but like there's an opportunity there still to create a good interaction in healthcare with somebody.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of opportunities for healthcare to go wrong for people, you know, so it's ways I find to like re-energize about this job is to reframe my brain and thought process around the types of calls that we're taking.
That goes, I'll touch on something real quick. That whole outlook on that is one of the reasons why I'm hoping that the community paramedicine program takes off like everywhere.
Yes.
Because like going, honestly, the best thing ever is to go into a home where like you got a husband and wife and they're in their 80s and one of them has dementia and doesn't really know what's going on, and the other one's taking care of them. And you can, like, I absolutely love those situations where I can go in and just sit down on the couch with them and carry on a conversation, and they don't really need anything, but they didn't know how to, like, you know, give her medicine or whatever the case may be. And you can just be there for 15 minutes and just make the day okay after that. I can't wait for that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it comes sooner than I expect it will, because those are the moments I live for.
Yeah.
I get great reward and just like that makes it worth it. Like,
yes.
You know, sure, the pay isn't great and sure there are things can be better about this job. But man, like just spending 30 minutes with grandma whose family has moved elsewhere and they're just alone and can't get their pill bottles open and like their fridge door is stuck. And
or they've fallen and they need to make a phone call to the doctor and it doesn't necessarily mean an ER visit and you can call the doctor for them. And you know, I can't wait for that day to come.
Yeah. It's really nice to be able to help people without just throwing them in a truck and dragging them to a waiting room somewhere. Yes. This job, we spent a lot of time in EMS talking about what's wrong with EMS, right? The pay sucks, the hours are tough, blah, 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 blah. I'm not terribly interested in that anymore because I've done my fair share of bitching about it, and frankly, I'm tired. And there's no value to it. Right? No. Maybe a little. It's good to vent and get that stuff off. You shouldn't carry around the burden all the time, but just to endlessly bitch and moan about what's wrong, I don't think there's a good way to handle that. What can we do though, as just boots on the ground folk? Like we're out there, we're doing this job. How do we, you, Jackie, me, Hutch, go out there and make EMS better? What are things we can do? Because community paramedicine, it's not coming anytime soon. It's going to take time, and it's probably not going to be you and I that makes it happen because we need all of the politicians and lawyers and all that jazz to go. So how do we make this job better?
For me, I go into every call like that's my family. Like they're important, even if it's the same person that's called every single day. Like you still have to talk to them like they're a human being, like they have feelings, like they validate what they have going on, and go into it positive every time. Instead of like getting dispatched to the same call, the same house and everything every day for a week, and then by day six, you're like, what the hell is going on? Why are we going there again? And just that mind, changing your mindset, I think, as a paramedic, as a provider, I think is the first thing that we can do. With us, and then.
How do you think you maintain that? Because it's not easy to go to the same house
multiple
times a week. You know, I try to go in with that mindset, but even I've cracked. Again, we're here. Yeah. What's going on? Come on. You know,
I think building relationships with those patients that you go to every day and being a welcome face to them. Cause truthfully, the patients that call repeatedly either are having a bad day every day or they have nobody or they're in a group home and they are the staff and they don't like the people they live with and whatever it may be. And being a different type of face for them every time, I think, might not make a difference. And you're still probably going to go there every week, but it might make your job a little easier when you can go and say, hey, how's it going today? Did you eat breakfast? What'd you have for lunch? Do you really need to go to the hospital or something else going on? Maybe be a event session instead of a transport to the hospital or, you know, and spend 10 minutes like just talking to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. So switching away from EMS for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
What does Jackie do for fun? You mentioned your family, kids.
I'm a mom.
So.
And a cat.
Mom and a cat. How old are your kids?
17. She just graduated high school and 12 in a couple weeks.
That's fun.
No.
No?
Teenage girls are not that much fun.
No, well, no, you're right. They are kind of a miserable breed.
Wouldn't change them for anything, and I wouldn't trade them for anything, but some days.
I have a niece who's in her 20s now, and there was a period from like 12 to 20 where she just was miserable.
Yeah.
Just like, man, you were fun once. Sorry, Meg. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it was like... I really liked hanging out with you, and now you're just like always so down and
yeah,
dour about everything. Why? What happened?
Yep.
You're so sweet.
I do have a couple brothers that live out in Ohio, and I have a sister that lives in Pennsylvania, and one lives in Hammondsport. So we do a lot of traveling and go see them. And yeah. I have some nephews and a great nephew and some nieces that my kids like spending time with, and so we just do fun stuff.
Do you find, I don't get the opportunity to talk to a ton of parents on this show. It's mm-hmm. typically younger folks who haven't grown their families yet. Not that you're old, but like.
Oh, no, I am.
but, you know, but they're just folks that haven't started that process yet in life. Because this job does tend to attract 18, 19-year-olds who are just still ready to go out partying every night.
Yep.
Do you find that being a mom has like altered your care or how you approach this job?
I think so. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. Like my kids, like if they, you know, trip and fall and are crying, I tell them to get up and you're going to be fine and we're not going to the ER and, you know, we're not going to the ER because your belly hurts or we're not running to the doctor. And sometimes you'll get the calls where you've got a 12-year-old that stubbed her toe that they think is broken and you're like, really? Like, so sometimes it is difficult, but... I also feel like being a mom, you have a different sense of being a parent in general. You have a different sense of empathy for parents that are not having a good time with their children. Even like mental health, lots of times we'll go pick up some mental health children and mm-hmm. like you have an empathy for the parents for that. And instead of just the kids, like you worry about the parents as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's made a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I've known a couple different providers through the years who, as they were becoming parents or starting that process, they said just like flatly, like, I know if I have a kid and then go to a bad pediatric call, that's it for me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm done. And I've just always wondered, like, how that affects folks and, like, how they're able to process this job. Because you've been around long enough now that you've probably been to some of those bad calls,
yeah.
right?
And yeah.
How do you, like, handle, like, how does that process?
It definitely, you deal with it differently, I think, and I think it affects you differently. But, like, for me, it's still one call at a time. Every call is different. Every call, it's either an adult or a child or an infant or whatever it's going to be. And I think just handling every call individually the same way, you know, the same way, you process it, you go to it, you process it, you work through it. Definitely, obviously, working through children calls is difficult and it is tough. And, you know, you go home and you tend to be a little bit more caring with your own kids and you let some things slide for a while. And, you know, you do, I think it does change you for a little while, but yeah. as a provider, you work through that and the next call is the next call.
That's kind of refreshing to hear. I like that.
Yeah, it's taken some time to figure out how to do that. But yeah.
So, you know, I asked you to come on the show, and I'm just intrigued. Like, what did that like what popped into your head? You were like, all right, Hutch wants me to be on a podcast about EMS and mental health. Was there anything in your head that you were like, I need to, this is what I want to bring up. This is what I want to talk about.
No, I think I started going through everything. I actually was like, yeah? Oh my gosh, what am I going to say on there? And then I was like, wait a minute. So I've listened to a lot of your podcasts. Like, so I've listened to Sam and Megan O'Brien, and those are the two I remember. But I've probably listened to 10 or 15 of them. Mm-hmm. And they're all just so inspiring to listen. Like, every one of them is different. Everyone has a different outlook on everything. And so I was like, I thought about it, and then I just decided that I would just come. Yep. Whatever came out, came out.
Nice. I like that. No agenda there.
No agenda.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end. I kind of wrap all these up about the same way.
Okay.
As somebody who's listened, you've probably heard me ask this question here. So hopefully maybe you've prepared or thought a little bit about it before coming in. I ask everybody the same thing. It's tell me a story about a time you laughed really hard.
Oh, gosh.
The caveat being is it doesn't have to be a good story. People worry about like having to come up with this like hilarious anecdote about a time when thing happened. Like, doesn't have to be a good story. Just a time when you laughed really, really hard.
Oh, my husband's probably gonna yell at me for this. But
I already love it.
Like, so picture this, right? It's December.
Okay.
The air conditioner's still in the window. And I finally said, it's coming out now, today. Take it to the shed. Done. Right? So he gets pissed off because I had to tell him what to do. And he did it in his Crocs. And it was icy out. And literally stepped on the first step on the back deck to go to the shed with this air conditioner. Down he went, a brand new phone in his pocket, bent in half, fell on the steps, air conditioner bounced off his chest, and I'm just standing in the door dying. And he was so mad. And the air conditioner laid in the yard for like an hour because he wouldn't even touch it. It was pretty comical. But who wears Crocs when it's icy out?
Right. I wonder who wears Crocs, period. But
exactly. Well, I think everybody's switching to Hey Dudes now, which I don't really think are much better.
I don't know what that is. I don't think I want to know what that is.
There.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that looks like a reasonable shoe, at least.
Yeah, but this is so, like, yeah. Slick.
All right.
Yeah. So if he listens to this, he's probably going to shake his head at me, but.
That's all right. He's busy doing real work and hopefully won't be too distracted by it. So
yeah, my kids, my youngest will remind him of that quite frequently too.
That's pretty funny. Even better, just to get the whole family in on the torturing pop.
Oh yeah, yep. And I honestly don't think he's wore Crocs since that day. So I think he learned something.
He learned something. Probably not the lesson he needed to learn.
Like, right. Maybe to take the air conditioner out in fall instead of winter might have been a good idea, but.
So, yeah, that's kind of, we're at the end here. With that, thank you, one, for just carving time out of your day to come hang out and have this chat. It's a long drive for you, so my I appreciate pleasure. You coming up and doing it. I also just, this whole project really is just a thinly veiled reason for me to talk with people that I respect and like spend an hour sitting across from somebody and having an uninterrupted conversation.
Cause yeah, that doesn't happen
anymore. We're just like staring at our phones, distracted by every notification that's popping
up.
Oh,
yes.
So just to be able to sit across and like have a chat with somebody about this world and this life is really refreshing. So thank you for taking the time to do that. Thank you for being the type of provider that you are and for just bringing a refreshing energy to EMS and being so excited about this job and carrying that on. I know it's an infectious feeling in the best way possible. And I know you spread that when you're at work, so your partners are picking up on it, and it really is making a difference in changing the culture and just growing our profession into something that people should desire to do. So thank you for all of that. Thank you for coming in today and for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm honored.
Aww. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.